With the agenda, but now we're in the video gaming segment. First is proposed amendments to video gaming rules. The first of those is an amendment to proposed Rule 321 regarding sales agents.
Thank you, Chairman Tracy, members of the board, Administrator Fruchter, Dan Gerber on behalf of the General Counsel's Office here presenting three rules for your consideration. Members of the board, as you might recall, last meeting, you adopted a Rule 321, which governs procuring use agreements. This month, staff is asking you to consider a slight addition to that rule. This will add a new subsection B and move everything else. This new addition will provide a 21-day window during which time the administrator may either explicitly approve a disclosed sales agent or indicate that the sales agent is not approved while as a result of an investigation. If the investigation comes back that there needs further investigation, the administrator may extend this deadline, but this clock starts ticking after the agent is fully disclosed to the board, which includes fingerprinting, and at that point in time, the agent can begin working or procuring agreements 21 days after that fingerprinting and after the full disclosure, unless receiving other notification from the board, either granting approval or, excuse me, from the administrator, either approving the status as a sales agent or objecting to it.
Very good. Any questions for Deputy Counsel Gerber relative to this proposed rule change? If not, is there a motion?
There is a motion, Mr. Chairman. Based on the staff's recommendation, I move that the board approve for submission to the Index Department of the Secretary of State on first notice the proposed amendment to Rule 1800.321, which addresses the procurement of use agreements.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. All right, next, proposed new rule to video gaming rules, section 1800-140, and amendments to rules 615, 690, 715, 720, and 790 regarding service via email.
That's correct, Chairman. Chairman, the Illinois Administrative Procedures Act permits a licensing agency to take certain steps and pass certain rules to effectuate service on its licensees and its applicants via electronic mail. This rule is designed to do that for Illinois Gaming Board video gaming licensees and applicants. So we've created a new section under general provisions that lays out the framework by which the service will occur and complies with Section 1075 of the Illinois Administrative Procedures Act. The other amendments to the sections that the chairman just read, which I believe are the 615, 690, 715, 720, and 790, are just clerical changes to indicate that service via email may be possible in all of those situations where we currently serve applicants and licensees of certain notices, disciplinary complaints, orders, and letters.
Well, I certainly agree with this proposal. I mean, all, you know, throughout the land, all, you know, courts and judicial systems everywhere, administrative systems, are going to service via email. So I would say it's high time that we did it as well.
We agree.
So thank you for your good work on that. Any questions? If not, is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on the staff's recommendation, I move that the board approve for submission to the Index Department of the Secretary of State on first notice the proposed new rule 1800-140 and amendments to rules 1800-615, 1800-690, 1800-715, 1800-720, and 1800-790, which address service via email.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. All right, next we have another proposed rule, video gaming rule, to section 1800-350, deactivation of video gaming terminals.
That's correct, Chairman. This rule is actually a reincarnation of a rule that was previously proposed and adopted by the board and has lapsed due to failing to meet the deadlines. But this rule establishes that in the event that the board's investigation reveals that a licensee who is operating, or a location licensee who is operating video gaming terminals is not qualified to operate them, whether it be an expired liquor license or a similar situation, that the video gaming terminals would be deactivated. In the event that the machines are deactivated, they would incur a fee to reactivate the machines that must be paid prior to those machines becoming reactivated. This would add a new section. I'm sorry, Chairman, but this would add a new section to the video gaming rule, section 350.
And the amount of that fee?
It's $150 per terminal.
To reactivate.
Correct.
Per terminal.
Very good. Per terminal, right. All right, any questions? If not, is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on staff's recommendation, I move that the board approve for submission to the Index Department of the Secretary of State on first notice the proposed new rule 1800-350, which addresses the deactivation of video gaming terminals.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to turn the last rule over to my colleague, Caleb Malamud.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Administrator. I'm Caleb Malamud, legal counsel for the board. The proposed rulemaking establishes contracting goals for covered terminal operators to be covered under this proposed rulemaking. The net terminal income of a terminal operator over a designated year-long period must equal or exceed the adjusted gross receipts of that Illinois casino which has the smallest AGR of all Illinois casinos over the same period. NTI, net terminal income, and AGR, adjusted gross receipts calculations, shall be based on data from the year that ends on September 30th preceding the start of the calendar year for which the contracting goals will be set. This selected time period will give terminal operators ample notice whether they have sufficient NTI to bring them within the coverage of the rulemaking during the forthcoming calendar year. The NGI and AGR data used to determine terminal operator coverage will be those published in the monthly reports of the IGB on its website. For its definitions, the contracting goals will cover minority-owned businesses, female-owned businesses, businesses owned by a person with a disability, and veteran-owned businesses. For its definition of minority-owned businesses, female-owned businesses, and businesses owned by a person with a disability, the rulemaking cites the definitions of those terms contained in Section 2 of the Business Enterprise for Minorities, Females, and Persons with Disabilities Act. That's 30 ILCS 570/2. These definitions all require at least 51% ownership by members of the covered class, or in the case of corporations, at least 51% stock ownership by members of the covered class. For veteran-owned businesses, the rulemaking cites the definition of veteran that is contained in Section 10 of the Veterans Preference in Private Employment Act. That's 330 ILCS 56/10. Under this definition, a veteran means a person who has either served on active duty with the Armed Forces of the United States for a period of more than 180 days and was discharged or released from active duty under conditions other than dishonorable, or was discharged or released from active duty because of a service-related disability, or is a member of the Illinois National Guard who has never been deployed but has separated under conditions other than dishonorable. Analogously to the other classes of business to which this rulemaking applies, veteran-owned businesses must have at least 51% veteran ownership, either individually or in the form of corporate stock shares. The contracting, this is a quite analogous rule to the existing rulemaking under the Riverboat Gambling Act under Section 7.C, known as the Business Enterprise Program. Not identical, but similar. The contracting goals under this rulemaking are expressed as percentages of the total dollar amounts of contracts awarded by a terminal operator during each calendar year. The dollar amount of first and second tier subcontracts and purchase agreements may be included in calculating a dollar amount percentage. Two sets of contracting goals are established: benchmark contracting goals and final contracting goals. The benchmark contracting goals are to be established by the board for each calendar year and will be the same for all covered terminal operators. Initially, these benchmark contracting goals are 11% for minority-owned businesses, 7% for female-owned businesses, 2% for businesses owned by a person with a disability, and 3% for veteran-owned businesses. There are precedents in state statute for each of these benchmark contracting goals. Minority-owned businesses, female-owned businesses, and businesses owned by persons with disabilities, those same percentages are contained in Section 4 of the Business Enterprise for Minorities, Females, and Persons with Disabilities Act. The benchmark goal for veteran-owned businesses is the same as the set-aside goals for contractors and subcontractors in the state's procurement process as set forth in Section 4 of the Business Enterprise for Minorities, Females, and Persons with Disabilities Act. The final contracting goals for each terminal operator will be based on the availability of the covered classes of businesses that are qualified to perform contracts on behalf of the terminal operator and are located in Illinois and in sufficient geographical proximity to the terminal operator to be reasonable candidates for contract selections. Not later than December 1st of each calendar year, each covered terminal operator must make an initial proposal of its final contracting goals to the board. Ultimately, the final contracting goals are to be reached through a process of consultation between the board and each terminal operator. Final contracting goals for a calendar year shall be established not later than March 31st of that year. The final contracting goal for each terminal operator shall not be lower than the closest approximation to the benchmark contracting goals that the board deems practicable. The board may conduct fact-finding hearings to determine the appropriateness of a final contracting goal. A good faith effort at compliance of a terminal operator to meet a final contracting goal requires the terminal operator to give consideration to those qualified minority-owned businesses, female-owned businesses, businesses owned by persons with disabilities, and veteran-owned businesses that are located in Illinois and in sufficient geographical proximity to be reasonable contracts for contract selection. Meeting the good faith effort standard, additionally, requires a terminal operator to do the following: conduct outreach efforts to associations of businesses owned by minorities, women, disabled persons, and veterans, and publish information about future contracts on its own website, as well as the official state newspaper. And in addition, the terminal operator shall distribute this information to the Business Enterprise Program of the Department of Central Management Services, CMS, and also the Director of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, and the Director of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Finally, two types of reports are required under the rulemaking. By March 31st of each year, each covered terminal operator must file with the board an annual report of its utilization of minority-owned businesses, female-owned businesses, businesses owned by persons with disabilities, and veteran-owned businesses. In addition to those reports, by July 1st of each calendar year, the board itself shall file an annual report that details the level of achievement toward the final contracting goals over the three most recent calendar years by each covered terminal operator, as well as by covered terminal operators as a whole. If 3 years have not yet elapsed, the report will cover the calendar years for which this rulemaking has been in effect.
All right. Thank you, Caleb, for that presentation. I have some questions about this.
Okay.
I think you said this was an analogous rule to the riverboat rule.
Correct. Analogous, but not identical.
And the river, analogous, but not identical. The Riverboat Act specifically requires that we issue such a rule, right, or have such, follows a similar.
That is correct. There's language
in Section
7.6 of the RGA required, actually, emergency rulemaking, which the board complied with. I believe that is Rule 3000.286 in the Riverboat Gambling Rules.
Is there anything in the, does the Video Gaming Act similarly require this this rule?
No.
Is there a similar requirement in the sports betting proposed legislation?
Yes, and I believe that's for the master sports wagering licensees. A very similar, it would need to be fleshed out by rule, but the concept is similar.
To the riverboat approach?
Similar, and again, not identical.
And is the thought here that not having this type of requirement in the Video Gaming Act was just an oversight by the legislature?
The legislature never has any oversights.
You are the legislative liaison, in addition to being legal counsel, so that was a very diplomatic statement, Mr. Malamud. Let's see. The threshold here is for TOs, large TOs that have an NTI that equals or exceeds the AGR of the smallest riverboat, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And I assume that, I assume that's not a statutory threshold.
That's not a statutory.
Something we came up with.
It's not statutory, it's something we came up with, but it's also what we felt was the only reasonable cutoff mark in order to create a comparable rulemaking for video that already applies for riverboat.
And this applies only to TOs. Is there any effort or plan to do such a rule for large locations?
Not at present.
Let's see. Okay, that's I think all the questions I have for you anyway.
And I also wanted to stress that this is goals. It's state specifically that these are goals. It's not punitive. They're not quotas. So these are goals to encourage greater use of these covered classes in contracting. And in the event that the goals are not met, the rulemaking also provides for potential remedies, which it lists, such as assurances of stronger and better focused solicitation efforts, division of job or project requirements when economically feasible, elimination of extended experience or capitalization requirements, identification of specific proposed contracts that may be particularly attractive or appropriate for participation by businesses in the covered classes.
Any other questions?
No.
All right, is there a motion?
There is. Based on the staff's recommendation, I move that the board approve for submission to the Index Department of the Secretary of State on first notice the proposed new rule 1800-1810, which addresses contracting goals for terminal operators.
Is there a second?
I second.
I oppose this motion, and I will vote against it. I think that this is not because it's not a laudable goal. I do think a case can be made allegedly is unfair for small river boats to have to comply with such a laudable social goal, while large TOs do not, and maybe even large locations do not have to at this time. And so I don't have any problem with the policy aspect of it. But I do believe this is a legislative decision, not a regulatory decision. I don't believe this goes to gaming integrity. I think the statute author gives us wide latitude in adopting rules that pertain to gaming integrity. But I don't see that there's a lot of latitude given to us or authority to adopt and promulgate rules to achieve social goals. And that's the job of the legislature. And if the legislature puts this in the statute and tells us to do this, we will, of course, fully comply with that. I agree with Mr. Malamud that I don't know if this was a legislative oversight. I kind of doubt it, but it may be. But it may be it was not an oversight, that there are reasons why this sort of language requirement is in for river boats and for sports betting, but not for video gaming. You know, they are different activities. There are different spends, particularly, and so there. So it may well not only be an oversight, but a conscious decision by the legislature. But we don't know. We're just speculating in that regard, and I don't think that's proper role for a regulatory body. The threshold again. What Caleb explains it very well. You know, it makes sense to me. That's if you're going to do this, it's probably the right threshold. But again, that sure sounds like a legislative decision, a policy decision, as opposed to a regulatory decision. Another issue I have with this is that it's considerably more work for the gaming board at a time when it's rumored that there's more work coming to the gaming board. So for all those reasons, I will vote against this, and I would encourage my fellow members to vote against it as well until such time as the legislature acts. And I would assume that if the motion does not pass, or for whatever reason it doesn't get through JCAR, I would assume the legislature would take a hard look at this and then act. And then if we do this, we'll do it on sound statutory basis and authority. Any other comments? All right, let's call the motion. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. The motion carries 3-1. All right. Next, we have video gaming manufacturer, distributor, and supplier license items. Manufacturer, distributor, and supplier license renewals, May and June. Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry. Did you call Arctic already?
Pardon?
Did you call Arctic?
No.
Ah.
No, not.
Apologize.
No, not yet. Is there a motion?
Based on staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board renew the following video gaming manufacturer, distributor, and supplier licenses for a period of 1 year retroactive to May 2019 and expiring in May 2020. Novomatic Americas Sales LLC.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries unanimously. Is there a motion relative to Curo Group and to NRT Technology Corp?
There is, Mr. Chairman. Based on the staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board renew the following video gaming supplier licenses for a period of 1 year expiring in June 2020. One, Curo Group LLC, June renewal, and NRT Technology Corp, June renewal.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Is there a motion relative to the renewal of Suzohap Gaming?
There is a motion. Based on a staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board renew the following video distributor license for a period of 1 year expiring in June 2020 to Suzohap Gaming Solutions LLC, June renewal.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. All right, terminal operator licensee items. Initial license for Arctic. So we made it there.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Fruchter, and Mr. Lorenzini, and members of the board staff, Matthew Payne of Fox Rothschild here for Arctic Gaming Solutions. I would just respectfully request that the board approve the initial license of Arctic Gaming Solutions. I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Based on staff's investigation and recommendation, I have no questions. Is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on staff's investigation and recommendation, I move that the board issue a terminal operator license to Arctic Gaming Solutions LLC for a term of 1 year, expiring in June 2020, as the applicant has demonstrated its qualifications and suitability for licensure.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have a number of TO licenses to be renewed for 1 year. Is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on the staff's investigation and recommendation, I move that the board renew the following terminal operator licenses for a period of 1 year, retroactive to May 2019 and expiring in May 2020. 3G Gaming LLC, May renewal. Hyperactive Gaming LLC, May renewal. Illinois Gaming Investors LLC, May renewal. Skybox Gaming Group LLC, May renewal. Taproom Gaming LLC, May renewal.
Is there a second?
There is a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, we have renewal of some additional TO licenses for a period of 1 year, but these expire in June of 2020. Is there a motion?
Yes. Based on staff's investigation and recommendation, I move that the board renew the following terminal operator licenses for a period of 1 year, expiring in June 2020. AP Gaming LLC, June renewal. Golden Route Operations LLC, Illinois LLC, June renewal. Lucky Street Gaming LLC, June renewal.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Technicians and terminal handlers.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, this month staff provided you with a number of applications for technician and terminal handler licenses. Based on our review, we recommend the board approve 81 applications, and we recommend that the board authorize the administrator to issue 4 notices of denial.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on staff's investigation recommendation, I move the board approve 3 terminal handler licenses and 78 technician licenses, and authorize the administrator to issue notices of denial to the following: Ian Patrick Cole Osborne, Ward Eugene Williams, Paul Levon Collins, Richard Martin Miller.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. License renewals and non-renewals.
Additionally, staff requests that the board renew the licenses of technicians and terminal handlers. Hold on.
Okay, technical difficulties here. Apparently we had some numbers that were transposed. The prior motion, I think we probably need a motion to rescind the prior motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Now, is there a new corrected motion relative to technician and terminal handler licenses?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board approve 3 technician licenses, 3 technician handler licenses, no, 3 technician licenses, and 78 terminal handler licenses, and authorize the administrator to issue notices of denial to the following: Ian Patrick Cole Osborne, Ward Eugene Williams, Paul Levon Collins, Richard Martin Miller.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for catching that.
All right, picking up where we left off, staff requests that the board renew the licenses of technicians and terminal handlers who are licensed or renewed in May and June of 2018 and are in compliance with the Video Gaming Act and the board's rules and have properly updated their applications and paid their annual fees on time.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, based on staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board renew the technician and terminal handler licenses that were licensed or renewed in May and June 2018 and who have properly updated their applications, timely paid their annual fees, and are in compliance with the requirements of the Video Gaming Act and the board's rules.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Video gaming establishment items, VG approvals and denials.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, the staff provided you this month with 137 establishment applicants for your consideration. We recommend that the board approve 137, I messed that all up, let me start over. The staff provided you this month with a number of establishment applications for your consideration. We recommend that the board approve 137 applications and authorize the administrator to issue notices of denial to 3 applicants.
All right, so, and that's 137, not 139?
That is correct, 137.
All right. And 3 denials you're recommending, right?
Yes.
All right, is there a motion to that effect?
There is, Mr. Chairman. Based on a staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board approve 137 video gaming establishment licenses for a period of 1 year, expiring in June 2020, subject to licensee's payment of the applicable licensing fee on or before July 31st, 2019, and further authorize the administrator to issue notices of denial to the following applicants: Cisco Sports Bar LLC, DBA Cisco Sports Bar LLC, Neiman Foods Inc., DBA Save a Lot number 474, and Sean's Public House Inc., DBA Sean's Public House.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
All right, I am not voting on this motion. I've not done any work for Neiman Foods, but I may do some work for a related association, some legal work for them, but I have a partner that's done some work for Neiman Foods. So I'm going to recuse myself on this motion, but it still passes with 3 votes and 1 recusal. All right, is there a motion relative to Sangamo Surf Club?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on staff's investigation, I further move that the board grant an establishment license to Sangamo Surf Club, DBA Sangamo Surf Club.
I'm also recusing myself from this, not because I know of any representation of this Lake Springfield Club, but you know, I may have a partner or associate who's done some legal work for somebody who's an officer or director of the club. I don't know. It's just easier to recuse, so I'm recusing. All right, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All right, the ayes have it. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, the motion carries 3-0 with 1 recusal. All right, the next is also a Lake Springfield Club, as to which I will recuse myself for the same reason. Is there a motion?
Yes. Based on staff's investigation, I further move that the board grant an establishment license to Television Radio Newspaper Club of Springfield, doing business as TRN Club of Springfield.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And again, I recuse myself, so the motion passes 3-0 with 1 recusal. All right, license renewals.
Staff also recommends that the board renew the licenses of retail, truck stop, veteran, and fraternal establishments that were licensed or renewed in May and June of 2018 and that are in compliance with the requirements of the Video Gaming Act and the board's rules.
Is there a motion?
There is, Mr. Chairman. Based on the staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board renew the licenses of retail establishments, truck stop establishments, veteran establishments, and fraternal establishments that were licensed or renewed in May and June 2018 and that have properly updated their applications, timely paid their annual fee, and are otherwise in compliance with the requirements of the Video Gaming Act and the board's rules.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Request for hearing.
This month, the staff reviewed 5 requests for hearing. The first hearing request comes from Trackside Diner and Bar, LLC, DBA, Trackside Diner and Bar. The board denied applicant licensure in April 2019 because it had an active tax liability and may have engaged in possible inducement activities. In its request for hearing, the applicant admits the terminal operator paid for certain costs associated with the establishment's business, but states that these payments stopped after January 1st, 2019. Because applicant has failed to state a prima facie case, as it simply reaffirmed the board's reasons for denying the application, the staff recommends denying the hearing.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board deny the hearing request submitted by Trackside Diner and Bar, LLC, DBA Trackside Diner and Bar.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Next, we have Drewski's LLC, DBA Drewski's LLC. In April 2019, the board denied applicant licensure. The 100% owner had numerous arrests between 2004 and 2015. The owner timely submitted a request for hearing that was procedurally inadequate, including no statement of facts, was not notarized, and it was not certified, had no certification language. Owner submitted a revised request for hearing that both conforms with procedural rules and alleges additional facts. Accordingly, the staff recommends granting a hearing.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes. Based on staff's investigation and recommendation, I move that the board grant the hearing request submitted by Drewski's LLC, doing business as Drewski's LLC.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Next, we have CH House Corp.
I'm going to recuse myself from
right.
The following request is from CH House Corp. DBA, the Coach House Bar and Grill. Applicant was denied in April 2019 for failure to maintain a safe and secure establishment. Applicant has since submitted a request for hearing that complied with Rule 615 and provides additional specific details about the incidents at issue, disputing the underlying facts, and how they reflect upon the applicant's maintaining a safe premises. Staff recommends granting a hearing.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on the staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board grant the hearing request submitted by CH House Corp., DBA, the Coach House Bar and Grill.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye. And I'll recuse
myself. Any opposed? The motion carries 3-0 with one recusal. Member Dolan, let the record reflect that Member Dolan has recused himself on that motion. Washington Enterprises.
Washington Enterprises, LLC, DBA, Ava's Cafe. This location was denied in April 2019 for not having an active liquor license and for not being properly registered with the Department of Revenue. In its request for hearing, the applicant noted that it did in fact have a liquor license. Subsequent investigation by licensing and legal staff confirmed that the applicant had a liquor license, however, is still not registered with the Illinois Department of Revenue. Counsel for applicant has been contacted and states that he will have the issue resolved. But for this issue with the Department of Revenue, the location would have been licensable. Accordingly, staff recommends rescinding the denial and allowing the applicant to cure the defect.
All right, so basically you're recommending that the application be in effect amended or supplemented.
What we're recommending is that the denial be rescinded, that they would be able to fix it and then come back and reapply.
All right. Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman. Based on a staff's investigation and recommendation, I move that the board rescind the denial of Washington Entertainment, LLC, DBA, Ava's Cafe, and allow its application to be further processed.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Our final request for hearing is from Nathaniel Homer Clark. The board denied this applicant terminal handler in April 2019 due to failure to disclose two arrests and the characterization of his prior military service. The applicant contends in his request for a hearing that he has never been arrested and that the background checks were in error, or the background checks revealed in errors. He also states that his discharge from the Navy was fully disclosed in 1993 when he was previously licensed to work at a Hollywood casino in Illinois. For these reasons, the staff recommends granting a hearing.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, based on staff's investigation recommendation, I move that the board grant the hearing request submitted by Nathaniel Homer Corp.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Request to reapply.
There are two requests to reapply this month. The first is from Smicket Corporation, DBA, Kelly's Irish Saloon. This former licensee was non-renewed at the August 2018 board meeting due to repeated active tax liability issues. The licensee failed to submit a timely request for hearing after the prior non-renewal. In its request to reapply, the former licensee explains that numerous family hardships were occurring during that time, which led to both the active tax liabilities and the failure to request a hearing in a timely fashion. Staff recommends granting the request.
Is there a motion?
There is, Mr. Chairman. Based on staff's recommendation, I move that the board grant Smicket Corporation DBA Kelly's Irish Saloons request to reapply.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
The second request to reapply is from Chances R LLC, DBA Chances R. The board denied this applicant in April 2019 based on its determination that the 100% owner, Ralph Deming, had an extensive arrest history. The board received the request to reapply from Amanda J. Deming, the former video gaming manager of the location, stating that she is now the 100% owner of the applicant. The relationship between Amanda and Ralph is unknown, but applicant publicly holds itself out as a family-owned and managed bar and grill. Request to reapply fails to assert that Ralph is no longer involved with the management or operation, claiming only that he is no longer its legal owner on paper. Staff recommends denying reapplication.
Is there a motion?
There is, Mr. Chairman. Based on the staff's recommendation, I move that the board deny Chances R LLC DBA Chances R requests for leave to reapply.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right, next we have litigations and settlements. Timothy Keith Evitz.
So, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, staff has presented you this month with a few potential settlements. As you mentioned, the first one is from Timothy Keith Evitz, a terminal handler who was denied licensure in December 2018 due to his past record. The applicant, however, has now provided us with a 2012 court order which sufficiently amended his prior record. Staff therefore recommends that the board rescind its previous denial and disassociation order.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes. I move that the board authorize the administrator to enter into a settlement agreement regarding the denial and disassociation orders against Timothy Keith Evitz and, if appropriate, to rescind both previous orders.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Next up is Puzzled Minds Management Group, LLC, DBA JT's Corner Tap and Eatery. Last fall, the board fined this licensee $5,000 in DC-B-18-113 for permitting underage play of VGTs. The licensee misunderstood the board's directive to pay the fine or file an answer to mean that his establishment would get billed if it did not file an answer. Regardless, licensee paid the $5,000 fine on February 5th, 2019, which is the same date that the board was mailing the subject second complaint, which is DCV-19-21, against the licensee for non-payment. The licensee has subsequently apologized in its settlement letter, stating it was confused about the process for payment. The licensee, who did pay the fine, has offered $500 to reimburse costs related to their failure to pay the fine in a timely manner and to respond to the prior disciplinary complaint. We recommend accepting this offer.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, I move that the board authorize the administrator to enter into a settlement agreement regarding disciplinary complaint DCV-1920 against Puzzled Minds Management Group, LLC, doing business as JT's Corner Tap and Eatery, and rescind the complaint.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
We next turn to Pub 225 LLC, doing business as Pub 225. This location was denied licensure due to the failure of the owner and owner's then girlfriend to cooperate with IGB agents after it identified her as a person of significant influence or control. The applicant did not understand that adding his then girlfriend to the application would create no ownership rights in the LLC. The two have since married and he will add her to the application. We recommend rescinding the denial and reopening the investigation to be completed and then voted on at a later date.
Is there a motion?
Yes, I move that the board authorize the administrator to enter into a settlement agreement with Pub 225 LLC, doing business as Pub 225, regarding the denial.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Memphis?
Moving on to Loose Taps Incorporated, doing business as Memphis on Main. The board revoked this license in DC-V-18-57 when it learned that the licensee's owners had engaged in a transaction in which functional ownership and operation of the establishment was transferred to the owners of an adjacent licensee without any notification to the board. The licensee has subsequently gone out of business, and the licensee's owner has requested he be allowed to surrender his license. We recommend accepting the license surrender.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, I move that the board authorize the administrator to enter into a settlement agreement with Loose Taps Incorporated, DBA Memphis on Main, which contemplates accepting the surrender and, if appropriate, rescinding disciplinary complaint DC-V-18-57.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
We now turn to John L's 2, Inc., DBA John L's 2. This licensee was non-renewed at the January 2018 board meeting due to a history of active tax liabilities. According to the licensee, it is now current on all taxes and has since retained an accountant. Licensee has offered a $500 settlement amount. Staff recommends accepting this offer.
Is there a motion?
Yes, there is. I move that the board authorize the administrator to enter into a settlement agreement regarding the non-renewal with John L's 2, Inc., DBA John L's 2, and, if appropriate, rescind the non-renewal and renew the license.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Next, we have Heartland Liquors, Inc., DBA Heartland Liquors. In 2018, the board issued disciplinary complaint DC-V-18-72 against Heartland to revoke its license due to safety concerns. Licensee states it has made a number of operational changes to address those concerns. Moreover, licensee has offered a 30-day suspension of its license from July 1st, 2019 through July 31st, 2019. We recommend granting the administrator authority to settle this case for on suitable basis.
Is there a motion to that effect?
There is. I move that the board authorize the administrator enter into a settlement agreement with Heartland Liquors, Inc., DBA Heartland Liquors, regarding the pending revocation and, if appropriate, rescind disciplinary complaint DC-V-18-72.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
We now move on to Rough Road LLC, DBA Freedom Bar. The board denied this locational license at the April 2019 board meeting because the husband of the 100% owner allegedly belonged to a motorcycle club affiliated allegedly with a disreputable organization. As part of its settlement, the applicant included letters of recommendation from the mayor and chief of police of the town in which the bar is located. These letters indicated that the applicant has not had any instances regarding criminal activity or other concerns from the mayor or chief of police. According to the staff, recommends rescinding the denial and licensing the applicant.
Is there a motion?
Yes. I move that the board authorize the administrator to enter into a settlement agreement regarding the denial of Rough Road LLC, doing business as Freedom Bar, and to rescind the denial and to grant it an establishment license.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
We now turn to LSB One, Inc., doing business as Lock, Stock, and Barrel. In January 2019, the board issued disciplinary complaint DC-V-19-17 against this location to revoke its license for failure to pay a fine the board previously assessed at the July 2018 complaint, DC-V-18-98, for operating four VGTs 4 days without a current liquor license. Although the establishment paid the original fine days before the board served the second complaint, it admits it was delinquent in paying the original fine and offered to pay an additional $500 in fine and costs to offset the administrative inconvenience caused by its late payment of the fine. Staff recommends accepting this offer.
Is there a motion?
There is, Mr. Chairman. I move that the board authorize the administrator to enter into a settlement agreement with LSB One Inc., doing business as Lock, Stock, and Barrel, regarding the pending revocation and, if appropriate, rescind disciplinary complaint DC-V-19-17.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right, before we adjourn, I have a few closing remarks.
Chairman, we have two more.
Two more?
You're not quite.
That's right. The hand up. Thank you.
The first of the two additional matters involves Brady's Tailhook LLC doing business as Brady's Tailhook. The board issued a disciplinary complaint to Brady's Tailhook in May 2018. Staff recently learned that the disciplinary complaint number DCV-18-70 was not properly served on the licensee. Staff requests that the board rescind the disciplinary complaint and address the issues raised in the complaint through the video gaming discipline process.
Is there a motion?
Yes, I move that the board rescind DCV-1870 issued to Brady's Tailhook LLC, DBA Brady's Tailhook, so that the administrator may address this matter via the video gaming discipline process.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Finally, we have a matter involving the DMM versus Illinois Gaming Board litigation pending in the Circuit Court of Cook County. Staff recommends the board grant the administrator authority to settle this litigation.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes. I move that the board authorize the administrator to enter into a settlement agreement to resolve Circuit Court Case 17-CH-2587.
Is there a second?
Second.
This has been a very long litigation, a very protracted, but it looks like it's on the verge of settlement, and good luck with that, and hope you're able to get it resolved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Now we're finished.
All right. Thank you. So no further business?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Before we adjourn, I have a couple of closing remarks. Time flies. I was appointed chair of the gaming board over 4 years ago, about 40 meetings ago. Then I was a young man. Well, not really. I was 65, but anyway. I am grateful to Governor Rauner for appointing me to this position. It's been very meaningful public service. And I'm also very grateful to Governor Rauner and to Governor Pritzker for not interfering with my job as chairman of the Illinois Gaming Board or trying to influence it in any way that I know of. Both Governor Rauner and Governor Pritzker have been hands-off as far as the Gaming Board, as far as I know. I'm very grateful to IGB staff for all the great work they have done. When I was asked to take this job, I didn't ask to do the job. Never even heard of it, actually, when I was asked. My question was, is this a problem agency or an agency that's going to require turnaround or a lot of work? And they assured me that it was not, that it was a really well operating agency, and I have found that to be the case. So at the risk of missing some key people, I do want to especially thank Gus for serving in two capacities, for Bob Burke doing such a great job with licensing, Scott DeBell doing a great job with investigations, Caleb Malamud, who was such a gentleman as when he allows me to grill him on matters such as a proposed rule, and doing such a good job with the legislature. Jim, former FAU interim head, Jim Lipinski, and Tammy Compton, both for all the great work that FAU does. It's just amazing the amount of detail they get into. Gene O'Shea for the work he's done on video and Riverboat SEP and the work he's going to do more on video SEP. Sean Brannon and Frank Spazieri, who's here today, no longer with us, but thank you for all the great work you did for enforcement. He was here earlier. Maybe perhaps he's left at this point. All the staff, especially legal staff who I worked with the closest, because they're new, but they have really done a great job. And that's why this is such a very good, hardworking board. Circuit courts don't always agree with our work, but it is good work, and it's being done for the right reasons. So as you may have surmised from these remarks, this is my last meeting gaming board meeting. No, I've not been asked to leave by Senator Link, as sort of implied by the Sun-Times recently, or by the governor, or by anyone else. My term expires July 1, and some time ago I advised the governor that I would not serve beyond the end of my term of July 1. During my tenure, I hope and believe we've improved and enhanced somewhat this great agency. For sure, I think we've made some important good changes the last year or year and a half. I do regret we're not able to complete a good, robust SEP program, but we are working on that. We're still in the information gathering stage, but with Gene's passion and leadership, I know it will come to fruition. I also regret we weren't able to address the use agreement petition backlog, 320s, but that too is being addressed. In the meantime, that we have cleared an extensive backlog of license applications and addressed many significant discipline issues relative to gaming integrity. And more important, I think we have maintained gaming integrity throughout the state, which is something that should not be taken for granted. And I think is recognizing the fact that the legislature and the gaming expansion legislation has entrusted so much of that, basically all of it, to the Illinois Gaming Board. I kind of regret not staying around for the fun of implementing an 800-page gambling expansion bill, but I don't need another full-time job on top of my already full-time attorney job. I also want to thank my fellow board members. I've only served now two meetings with Member Ramirez and one meeting with Member Hayden, but Member Dolan's and I have been serving for almost 4 years, I think. It's been a pleasure to serve with you, Steve, and also Member Robinson and Alejandre, and I still miss Member Dunn. He made the job especially fun. So, thank you all, and in sum, farewell and best of luck to all.
I would like to just personally thank the chairman for his service. That your knowledge, integrity, and leadership is an inspiration to all of us, and your daily dedication and commitment to the industry was material and went beyond expectations. And I'm very proud to have served with you and establish our friendship, and the state of Illinois thanks you.
Well, thank you very much, Member Dolan. I would like to slightly correct what you said. It was my dedication to the public and gaming integrity, not to the industry. All right. Well, but thank you for those kind remarks. I really appreciate it. But anyway, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries unanimously.